Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family, the Arts family, Heart's Home family.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, what a wonderful day I get to sit next to this lovely lady yet again. What a blessing.
Isn't that quite the ditto?
Please do make sure you guys are subscribed to all three channels, Evolutionary, also EE Arts, and Heart's Home. And I showed this before. I just wanted to show you guys. See over here? Look over here, over here, over here. See? Over here, right in the right. That'll take you straight to our website, straight to our Patreon, Ko-Fi. That'll take you straight to EE Arts. That'll take you straight to Heart's Home when you're on Evolutionary. Then when you're on EE Arts, it'll take you to Heart's Home. It'll take you to Evolutionary. And when you're on Heart's Home, it'll take you to Evolutionary, and it'll take you to EE Arts. How easy is that? Okay, guys. Well, we see here from Reuters, German, UAE, and Egypt consortiums sign a $34 billion deal for a hydrogen project in Mauritania. Hydrogen. Green hydrogen project in Mauritania. Project will have a production capacity of up to 8 million tons of ammonia or other hydrogen-based end products annually. Okay, I only bring this up because we were talking about the Eye of the Sahara, which happens to be in Mauritania. Again, this is that area that we're looking at there, right? It's right on the border. A very curious, structure, to say the least. We were talking again about Plato and Plato's description of Atlantis. But the difference with what Cindy does and what I help her to do is that we're looking at it not just basing things on what we get from history, from Plato, from everything that anybody can, just listen to anywhere. We're actually using our abilities to remote view and see what we see concerning this. And also what the guides tell us. And again, our guides include members of the Galactic Federation as our main guides. So we're getting a little different perspective of this. And, this video is not just about this structure. What we want to do is, again, let's go back to basing everything that we know about Atlantis on Plato. Why do we do that? Well, because that's the big reference that everybody automatically looks to. We see Plato, Greek philosopher, ancient Greek philosopher, born in Athens during the classical period in ancient Greece. In Athens, Plato founded the Academy, a philosophical school where he taught the philosophical doctrines that would later become known as Platonism. Plato, or Platon, was a pen name derived from his nickname given to him by his wrestling coach, believe it or not. Allegedly a reference to his physical broadness. According to Alexander of Miletus, quoted by Diogenes of Sinope, his actual name was Aristocles. Aristocles sounds very much like an aristocrat. He was an innovative innovator of written dialogue and dialectic forms in philosophy. The thing I want to get across again is that he was Greek. He was from Athens. And when we look at the stories of Atlantis, what do we see? Well, we see that he's the main source. And again, who is he? Well, he's an Athenian. Okay, well, in the story of Atlantis, right, that we get from the Athenians, from Plato, from the Greeks, Athens repels the Atlantean attack. Unlike any other nation in the known world. Wait a minute. Okay, so they say they were attacked by Atlantis. Well, yeah, again, who writes the history? Well, the victors, right? The ones that win the battles write the history because the vanquished can't write it because they're vanquished. They're not in power. So again, what we're getting is, again, history given to us by the winners of these conflicts. Now, this, as it says here, despite its minor importance in Plato's work, the Atlantis story has had a big impact on literature. Big, big, big time. And this story that we're talking about concludes with Atlantis falling out of favor with the deities and submerging into the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, again, this is the controllers telling us this. The controllers will always give you a little nugget, but they're going to give you a distorted nugget. So again, this is spoken of from the point of view of an Athenian. And again, when we look at the power structure that is on the planet, we can go all the way back. We could say that right now we've been living under an American couple centuries, certainly an American 70, 80 years since World War II, American dominance. But in reality, for those that see the lines, it's really just an extension of the British Empire, which is really just an extension of the Roman Empire, which is really just an extension of the Greek, which is really just an extension of the Sumerian, which is really just an extension of the Draconian and Enochian, that battled against those that were of very, very higher degree of technology that were already here. So when we see Atlantis referenced in the fall of Atlantis, what you're really looking at is the power structure that was in place when the Anunnaki, when the Draconian AI, Anunnakian, Egygian, secret society power structure came here and took over. So the fall of Atlantis is the fall of the ages preceding the Dark Age. And again, we can correlate it if we look, we just go over and we read the stories that come out of the Indus Valley area. And we see the wars of the gods. We see the Devas versus the Asuras. This is an extension of that battle between the Devas and the Asuras.
Mm-hmm. And we look to Plato. I mean, he's going to put everything down to be in his advantage. So everything that he writes is going to be through his perception, and it's only going to be whatever they want you to know, since they are the victors and they're the ones who are going to form history. And I have to ask you guys, how many times when you were growing up going to school, did they rewrite science, or did they rewrite history? Did they rewrite this and rewrite that? That goes on and on and on. And that's why it's so important to develop your own abilities, so you can look at it and say, no, that's not right. That's kind of BS, and you can feel it within your heart. And the closer you get to yourself, the closer you know the truth. I mean, there's something about the truth. There's a very magnetic type of energy about the truth, and you'll feel it. And we can all get there. Our lives are very chaotic, but we can all get there if we just start to prioritize it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the actual takeover was done through infiltration, which took a long time, but it was a slow, steady infiltration, a lowering of the frequency and the vibration, very much like what we see now kind of going on. And now it's going to basically reverse itself, but we're heading back to the wars of the gods, so to speak, directly over our head as we go back into the Bronze Age. The Bronze Age is that's an age of all the these myths and legends that we're probably very, very familiar with, you know, all this just insanely high tech from our standpoint, battles and all sorts of different beings that we're going to be seeing. You know, it's a reversal of where we have been from. Again, it's always part of the control system. So, you know, again, he said that he heard it from some Egyptians. And again, Egypt was founded by who? By the Atlantean culture. You know, again, we see takeovers and we see distortions. Again, there is a strong, strong component that's at play right now that realizes everything is going to be revealed. So they want you to think Osiris is Enki. But no, these are vastly different energies. The key lies in developing our discernment and freeing our pineal gland so that we can actually really perceive the truth. So when we see the Eye of the Sahara, again, this is just one outpost. This is an outpost. Atlantis was a global culture. So it was all over. And again, we're always getting the stories from the point of view of the controllers at this time period. I've shown this unique structure. As you see, Cocos Islands National Park, it's part of Costa Rica. It's off the shores of Costa Rica. But look at these straight lines again. You know, it's so straight. It just hits you as a huge runway of sorts, as you see where it is here off the coast. But again, so much of what is now underwater wasn't underwater. I've been blessed to take a boat ride off the Cayman Islands before to something called Stingray City, which is over in this patch. And we drove 12 miles offshore and we jumped over and it was only waist deep. Waist deep. So again, when more of the water around the world was locked up in the ice caps, you know, so much of this, everything you see here, you know, this is Florida. Look at how massive Florida was. It was more than twice its size. And we see Houston right here. All this was on land. All this was above the water, and, you know, could be traversed by foot. Of course, the world was a lot colder those days. And again, it goes through those cycles. It goes through cycles. So we see this massive 8.5-mile pyramid discovered in satellite images believed to be Atlantis. Well, again, when we keep saying Atlantis, it was a global culture. It was all over. It was all over. Now, this was discovered on Google Earth in the Pacific Ocean, just west of Mexico. So this is just north of what we were looking at. But there's all sorts of other remnants out there all over the world. Over here, off the coast of Cuba, again, they found more evidence of an ancient. Of course, there's ancient cities all over there. Again, where do people build cities? Right along the coastlines. So you would find tons of cities right along these ridges and these edges. So, you know, over here, you'll find tons of cities out along the coast over here, remnants of them. We've seen the Bimini Road, too. That should not be a surprise. Again, the Younger Dryas event is the event that caused incredible havoc upon the planet and wiped out the vast majority of life. The vast majority of life was absolutely wiped out. And there's evidence of multiple huge impacts upon the planet, some up in Washington State, some down much, much farther. You got to realize, too, that when these impacts happen, the glacial period, again, we're in an interglacial period, somebody said. It always confused me when people say interglacial. We're in between. Well, we still have technically ice caps. They're very small now compared to what they were, because the ice caps did extend all the way down, covered Ohio, covered Michigan, covered almost all of New England. Actually, it's thought that when we look at Long Island Sound, that was the retreating glacier that dug that out. Otherwise, really, the land would have been all filled in here. So it changes the whole landscape. And, you know, things do not really resemble what they did in the past. But yet, if we go and look along these edges, you know, you're going to find that there were people, especially in the warmer areas, again, because, you know, it was a much, much colder world. And then we saw this. We talked about this about a year ago, wasn't it? I think somewhere about a year ago, they found a lost city, or at least this one gentleman's pretty sure there's a lost city, 12,000 years old. That takes you right back to the Younger Dryas again. Underwater city with pyramid and energy field found where? Well, off the coast of Mississippi and Louisiana. It's over here, the Chandelure Islands. Absolutely. I would not be surprised at all, because again, this would have been above the sea.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they're finding these more and more often, and I kind of think what's going on is they're allowing people to actually report on it. I think there's a lot of things out there that are kept hush for various reasons, various political reasons. But the most important reason is they don't want us to understand our history. They really bank on us having amnesia. That's their thing. So this is very, very controlled as it comes out.
Granite masses under the Chandler Sound have been a topic of study for years because, you know, we see so many megalithic structures built out of granite because it endures. It makes great countertops. Absolutely. Poverty Point. This is a state historic site. This is right here. Oh, look. Do you see those ridges? What do those look like? Doesn't that look familiar? Looks kind of similar to like what we saw when we were looking over here, doesn't it? It's kind of got those concentric ridges going around it. But wait a minute, this is over in Louisiana. Yeah, this is in Louisiana. In fact, it's, you know, on the way to the mighty Mississippi. It's in an area that is extremely fertile. This is great soil for growing. And in fact, it's such good soil for growing. This is where Bill Gates has bought up so much of his farmland. The biggest chunk of his farmland is actually in Louisiana over in this particular side. That tells you something, doesn't it? Yeah, it's definitely fertile. But it's also pretty fascinating because here again, can you see those ridges? Not that these ridges are exactly the same, but it's, again, tendencies of certain peoples to be telling the same story, to be doing things the same way at different points all around the world. So, again, they, of course, don't want you to know how old these are because, you know, there are academics that have looked at this. And, of course, the mainstream will tell you, they were probably built about 1500 BC, you know, so about 3,500 years ago. By the way, the earthworks at this site were the largest in the entire Western Hemisphere at that time. The entire Western Hemisphere, both Americas, this was the largest of its kind. And here you could see them a little bit better. What was going on here? This is an interesting site. Is it not? You got to feel the energy. You got to feel the energy. We've been through this area, and I've always been struck by the energy over there. It's always made me kind of feel like, I like this place. You know, it just feels high vibe. It feels positive. It gives off a good energy, a beneficial energy. You could feel it. You could sense it. It's interesting because there's different mounds and different alignments, and the alignments correlate again with the equinoxes. So, yeah, we could look through one corridor, so to speak, and when we look at the different mounds, you'll see the position of the sun at its highest point, and then you look the other way, you'll see it at its lowest point. So, you know, they always marked these things very clearly. And when we go and look at the dating of these alignments, we come back to that Younger Dryas event, because I think what they were doing is they're trying to warn us of when the cataclysm tends to come, when the big one comes. As you see here, Balcourt Mound, Mound B, Mound A, Sarah's Mount, and Dunbar Mount. This is a representation of what we see there. And again, it's all about marking where we are, because, you know, they're telling a story. They're saying, look, you know, something happened in the past. It comes around periodically, comes around basically every half a precession of the equinox, and it's extremely destructive. So you got to know where you are at this point in time.
That's extremely advantageous if you can figure that out. The other thing that I picked up with this was really, really fun is the energy was very electric. And it's very conductive. And if you go back in some of those pictures and you look on the ground, it looks like a computer circuit board, you know, like the lines going back and forth, back and forth. And this is a place where people went to heal, to help heal. As above, so below. So we look at our human bodies and we understand we are very electric in nature. You know, it's our conductivity. That's the thing that really heals us. So if you can find a place on Earth, you can actually enhance the conductivity of Earth. So, I mean, look at these circuit boards. There is, I know you guys can feel it. You can look at it, you can feel it. And this was enhanced. And the best way I can explain it is Earth has her own natural AI. I don't think that's the right vocabulary word because it's not really artificial, but she is brilliant in her creation where she can be enhanced in certain ways and enhance our bodies. So when we leave, our spirit leaves these bodies, it goes back to Earth, but it also came from the Earth. So you see how we are so much as one. And these beings understood that to a degree that's just mind-blowing. And we've lost so much of this valuable information. But this is a great age because it's starting to come back. Because guess what? They cannot hide it forever. As our energy bodies grow, we pull in more information from the world around us. And it is quite a yucky time because people aren't used to dealing with this much energy being shoved through their bodies. It can create a lot of overwhelm. It can create a lot of anxiety. But again, they're always banking on something for us to be thrown off center. And how do we make the best of this lifetime is really find our center, figure out what brings us to that place of peace, because that's when our energy body starts to function in the best way, the most efficient way possible. And then when these people went to these places, it just enhanced everything about them and they lived longer because they knew how.
Absolutely. And our lives are being purposely shortened. Yeah, that's totally on purpose. And so when we see everything going on with the system, it's all about keeping us in the dark age. They want to keep us rooted in the dark age. We're already moving into Dwapara. And again, at the same time, when we look back to how things were infiltrated, it was a slow infiltration that really started more in the Silver Age. The Golden Age, all that we're surrounded by are very high vibrational beings. The ancient and shining ones, we call them that because they exist in, all we can see is their light body. They don't appear to be really solid to us. They're an energetic form. And this is something that I've been familiar with all my life because I've seen them come to me, my guides. This is how my guides come to me, and I see them as shimmering energies of light and patterns. It's almost like one of those lava lamps. You know, it kind of looks like a lava lamp energy, and I didn't always realize exactly what I was seeing. It's taken time, and working with Cindy has clarified so much for me. You know, so many things that I knew were maybe a little unique because not everybody was getting this experience. Now I understand why. So when I see the guides, which is pretty much every single day, it's kind of like shimmering energies. This doesn't really quite do it justice because also it's not just seeing it, the energies, it's feeling, and their energy and frequency is beautiful. It's so pure love that it's really hard to describe it. It's a love and an acceptance without condition. So this is just a fascinating area. Now, of course, the official thing is, well, they had their rituals. I don't know, maybe it was fertility. Maybe it was, you know, praying to the gods for bountiful harvest, et cetera, et cetera. But in reality, what they're doing is giving us a marker and letting us know, hey, when your sun is lining up over here and here, you know, you got to be aware you're in the season of great, great changes, which we are. We are most definitely. Yet, you know, you got to ask yourself, well, okay, if we're going to have a pole reversal and we're going to have crustal displacement, you know, shoot, this area is 70 feet above sea level. Isn't it going to get washed right over? Well, Bill Gates doesn't think so, because he owns, you know, tons of farmland here. So he's not banking on this getting washed out. He would be all, you know, he would own land up in Colorado or something if he thought there was going to be that event in his lifetime. How long does he expect to live? Well, I'm sure he thinks he's probably going to be around there 20 years or so anyway. You know, I don't know. We'll see. But again, what we've gotten is that, yes, we do see the sun increasing with the flashes. The energy that's changing us is already changing us now. It's already changing us, and it's going up in intensity. But we have been through areas very similar to this over in East Texas and southern Arkansas and in Mississippi, and we don't see them completely underwater. Mississippi is going to be kind of soggy, is what we do see in the future, and we don't we do expect certain areas are going to dry out even more, like we've seen a lot of drying in California, believe it or not, long term. Right now it feels like there's a purpose behind the floods, and that purpose to me really feels like they want to trigger the big one in Cascadia. But long term, we see that drying up, but we drying up a lot more back to that drought circumstances that we had seen. But we also do see a lot more water. Albeit, it's not like you have to build an ark. We don't really see that happening. And I think, was it Maverick Star? Or I forget, I always forget, Terrell Blackstar? I forget which one's the one that predicted the pole shift for this month, I think. I think it was Maverick Star. But we've never gotten that. In fact, again, as we've said, most people... You got to worry about the geopolitical situation as far as survivability and also new plagues upon the land. Those are the things we got to worry about the most, because again, you know, war and more pestilence, as well as famine, because again, the food supply is most definitely under attack. Those are the things we got to worry about. We're not seeing a pole shift with crustal displacement in the next, you know, handful of years, whereas we are seeing some of the most trying times ever right in front of us. And it's, again, geopolitical. It's more plagues upon the land, and it's also the food situation. Now, these people, they understood how to live with the land and how to respect the land and how to, you know, plant in such a way. When we look to the way they planted with the three sisters, right? It was just smart. It was just intelligent. But again, so much of that knowledge came down from above.
Mm-hmm. They either channeled it, or these beings directly came down and taught them. And I know it's really difficult for us to perceive because of our upbringing. You know, we're told that it's just little old us, you guys. We're all on our own, and everything you see here is just divine mystery. Don't worry about it. Shut your ears. Just listen to us. And then the next year, oh, well, we made some mistakes. You know, I think we were kind of wrong about this and wrong about that. And that story is, it's really getting tired. I mean, it's just getting so old for them to come through with their corrections over and over and over. But I guess you have to be in a place where you're just really tired of it before you can totally turn away and learn the truth of things. And that's where so many people are right now. They're just turning away from the whole system because they know it's BS. And that's the first sign that your pineal gland is actually really waking up, because you know about the first illusion. You know about the facade of beings that are on the front line to tell the story. And if you're not able to look beyond them, well, you're not waking up just yet. But everyone wakes up in various degrees. If you really have a keen understanding that the political system is just a front, then yes, your pineal gland is waking up. You're making progress. Keep going and keep building for yourself. Keep building on your own soul. Keep building up that heart chakra. there's just so much information out there, and they've proved to us over and over and over again how we really can't rely on them, not at all, you know. And people are finding themselves in places where they're getting new inspirations because they're running into these problems because of the system. And then they're using that as an inspiration to create change. And isn't that such a beautiful thing? When you see a need, you fill that need, but fill that need with the understanding of what's in your own heart, not with what the understanding that they give us in books.
Absolutely. So they say these people were hunter-gatherers and didn't really, cultivate the land per se, but yet this is a very, very fertile area. When we think about, what are hunter-gatherers as well? You know, at different time periods, when we go farther back, the earth was way more bountiful. And if things were to revert back without interference from the control system, it would be so bountiful that, you know, truly, you wouldn't be able to starve. You really, really wouldn't be able to. And people wouldn't just migrate to the more fertile areas. And, you know, again, there's no profit in that. There's no profit in that, and there's no control in that. If there's just bountiful harvests everywhere, where's the profit and the control? Again, you know, this is why we see things like GMO seeds, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a fascinating area. I just, wanted to share another spot that you might not have heard of. And, you know, there's so many of them. We'll be covering more as we move forward, because you got to look at the bigger picture and the totality. If we just focus on one little piece and all we're trusting is the words of Plato, you know, we're not going to get anywhere. You got to look deeper. And you got to really, really work on your meditative practice. A daily, daily meditative practice has to take preeminence in order to awaken that intuition that's going to be so useful. That's your new language. That's the language of the Bronze Age and the Silver and the Golden Age. It's a living language, so to speak, because direct communication with another without any sort of verbal cues and clues is really where we're heading, the psychic realm. And this is how most beings actually communicate out there.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're really relying just on Plato, you're only going to get Plato's perception, whatever he wants you to think. That's the only thing that's going to be out there. So keep that in mind and go within, go within, go within. And let's all just keep growing together.
Absolutely. And come join us over on Heart's Home, as I was thinking we would be sharing a little bit more detail about us too. And so, yeah, we've shared in the past, but there's always new people coming and going. So to give you more on who we are exactly and how we have this perspective, come join us over there. As always, guys, much love. Thanks for your support on Patreon and Ko-Fi. If you need to make an appointment, it's evolutionaryenergyarts@gmail.com. Please let a couple weeks go by for getting scheduled. Much love. God bless and namaste.
Namaste.